What a time we are at. A time we calling it, this is the second, we are in what we call the second day. It's called the second day promises of God. Now, we need to explain some of this, so go to Hosea chapter 6, please. Verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will what? Heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, everyone say 2 days, he will revive us. He will revive us. In other words, he is going to not only revive, refresh, renew, anoint. He's going to break yokes of bondages. He's going to heal. There's more things that it's going to be released. He said, but after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain. Hello. Like the latter and former rain to the earth. I guess there's no coincidence we're talking about the earlier and latter rain tonight, amen? Now, it says, what he's saying here is return to his presence. Return to his presence. He says, after 2 days, he will revive us. Now, the Bible says that one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. This is prophetic insight where God is explaining a time sequence. And so many people miss it. Hallelujah. So, the first day is 1,000 years. Amen? Now, the day is counted by the death and resurrection of Jesus, which is 30 AD. That's how it begins. Is everybody with me? 30 AD to 1030 is 1,000 years. Does everybody get it? So 2,000 years would be 2030. Amen? So one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. So we are in the second day now. In fact, we're coming to the end of the second day. 2030 will be the end of the second day. But in this time right now, we are entering what we call 7 days of plenty. Plenty. But we are talking about the second day promises of God, which are going to be released. And they're going to start in abundance any moment. Any moment, things are going to start to happen. We are in what we also call the second wind of God, which releases the promises and provision and strategies. The second mantle of God is the anointing of God that will be released also. So we are going to be in a time where the mantle of God will bring wisdom from above, but all of these promises in the second day which we are in will be released only to those, because he said it right here, to those that are pursuers of his presence, truth, and power. If you're not a pursuer of him, it won't be released to you. You'll miss it. Because we are in a latter and what they call a former and latter day rain, which is the second glory. And notice that there's two things. Two always means witness. That means God confirms things with two all the time. It says when two touch and agree, it comes to pass. Amen. There's two witnesses that will be released. So again, we are what we call the second day. He said he will revive us. That will be restore, reconnect, renew. We are in that right now where things are going to begin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. Faith forever attached in the heavenlies, your connection to Him. For salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last days?
Yeah.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by what? Various what? Trials, challenges, tribulations, battles, sicknesses, diseases, thoughts, fears, all these things. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by what? Fire or trials, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Remember that the enemy will attack as God challenges. God challenges us to make us grow. The enemy loves to attack while God is challenging us. Amen? He likes to bring fear. He likes to cause people to run instead of fight. He likes to cause people to go back to the world and the ways of the world instead of seeking the kingdom of God. That's the enemy's ploy, because he doesn't want you to be in position to receive the blessing of the second day, the second day promises. This is happening all over the world. Amen? So yes, we will be tested. The second day promises. He's trying to find out whether we're genuine enough. Whether you're generic or genuine. Whether you're real or you're fake. Amen? And many will miss them. Many will miss the second day promises of God. In Jeremiah 17, in verse 5, please. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, in himself. In other words, haven't surrendered their will yet. Cursed is that person. And makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. In other words, even in the second day promises, they will miss it. They won't see the goodness of God. They won't see. They can't prophetically see. There's no prophetic insight of the future. They're so caught up in themselves that they can't see beyond themselves. It was all about me, myself, and I, how I feel, how I this and this and this. They will not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. That means you're no longer in survival mode. You're in surrender mode. You trust. It doesn't matter what's going on. You trust. You believe he's the holder of your heart, that he's making a way. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not what? Fear. When heat comes, in other words, when trials, tribulations, and challenges come, they're going to stand fast. They're going to fight no matter what. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious. Will not be what? Anxious. Oh, the devil loves to bring anxiousness. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Amen? For prayer and supplication. That's how the enemy comes in a mighty way. He gets people. He's a pusher. He's not only a drug dealer, he's a pusher. He pushes people. He pushes. He hounds. He pushes, pushes, pushes till you give in to him. Will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Look at verse 9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. The heart is the core of all desires. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the thoughts, the mind. even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Bible says we will know them by their fruits. The word fruits means their choices, their desires, their lusts. Amen? Cursed or blessed. Remember, the cursed will not see the goodness and opportunities of God. They will miss the second day promises. But the blessed will trust in the Lord all the way through, no matter what. Amen? You know, walking by faith is not the same as walking by sight. When you walk by faith, you're living on God's promises. Oh, but there's a lot of people that know the Word of God, but can't practice it. And the word follow means to what? Believe. So if you can't practice what is in the Word, the Bible says the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. That means the letter is actually going to kill you. It's going to work against you, not for you. Because the Spirit brings what? Life, and the letter kills. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger or my messengers now. And he will prepare the way before me, says the Lord. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. See, we are messengers of a covenant with God. A covenant. Those who are covenant keepers receive the blessings and promises. If you're not a covenant keeper, did you ever say you were going to do something and didn't? Did you ever sign a contract and not fulfill it? That's a covenant breaker. Amen? That's why we got prayers of unfulfilled vows. See, when you break covenant with God, I mean, you bring a curse on yourself. Amen? For even the messengers of the covenant, for you to be a messenger, you must be a covenant keeper. And whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offerings of what? Righteousness. Wow. He's going to send his messengers of his covenant that maintain covenant. Refiner, in other words, fire of trials, challenges. Amen? Soap is a purifying cleanse. He's cleansing the body. That's why the whole earth is under the shaking and quaking right now. The whole earth is being tested by God. All humanity is being tested. You know, years ago, I had a dream, and I think it was a dream or a vision. And I was standing at the beach. And I was standing at the beach as the waves came in. People were rolling in the waves. And once they hit the beach, they stood up. And some of them walked to the Lord, and some of them walked by him. See, God is rescuing many people, but many people are still not accepting the rescue. They will go back to the world just like Judas. If you've seen The Matrix, the dude that went back to the world. Amen? And many people walked and went up to his arms. But many people walked by him. Why? Because God has given opportunity and rescue to the world. Many will accept the invitation and many will refuse it. And they will miss what God is getting ready to do. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Beloved, I write to you this what? What? How many times? Second times. It means witness. Amen? It means God is saying, listen, grab hold of this. And both of which to what? Stir up your what? Pure minds by way of reminder. Okay, now listen to this. He's saying, look, I need to stir up your pure mind, not your corrupt mind. So if there's a pure mind, there's a corrupt mind. The corrupt mind is the carnal mind, the flesh mind, the old man mind. Now, your mind is nothing but a storage unit of memories and emotions. Memories and emotions. Which is words and things to that degree. And he's saying, I've come to stir up your pure mind. What's in the pure mind? Memories, emotions of God. Amen? The carnal mind is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. The pure mind has peace, joy, and righteousness. He has the words and promises of God. So he's saying, listen, I need to come and stir up your pure mind so that your corrupt mind doesn't influence you to do the wrong thing, make the wrong choice, because the heart is deceitful. That you may be, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts or their own what? Desires. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a what? 1,000 years. That's what we talked about. We're in the second day, aren't we? And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wow. The second day, this is the second letter he's written them to stir up their pure mind. Amen? Because why? He's trying to nullify and mute the old mind and the voice of corruption. The earth is standing, he said, the earth standing out of water and in water. Out of water and in water. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to know that between verses 1 and 2, we don't know how many years this is. It could be thousands. It could be millions. Who knows? So, but the first thing he created was what? Time. It says, in the beginning. So the first thing he created was time. Time. He put a time sequence. Because there is an end and there's a what? Beginning. In other words, out of eternity, God created, cut out, a whole universe. And said, beginning and end. And I'm going to do this all in this period of time. See, he created the seven feasts of the Lord so that we'd know time sequences. He began to create things so that we can understand times and seasons in certain areas and what's happening right now. As the Holy Spirit begins to interpret the Word of God and bring prophetic insight, we know what's going on. That's why we are in the second day promises. And people don't get it because they have no prophetic insight. They're too caught up in their own world. And they're going to miss it. Then it says, now look at verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the what? Waters. Waters. Again, the earth had no purpose. It was void. It was darkness. The Spirit was hovering over the waters. Now, the Spirit is light. That means the earth was either frozen or flooded. Most likely frozen. It was closed down. It was no good. It was without void. And you know this because in this next verse, he doesn't talk about creation. The only part he talks about creation is in verse 1. And he talks about what was going on. In verse 3, he begins to talk about restoration. Because the word let there be means not create, it means to be restore. Amen? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. So God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now let's get to the second day. Then God said, let there be firmament. That means divider. In the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. Why? Because in the earth was flooded. It was frozen and flooded, God said. So he was allowing something to happen. He said, let there be light. So what was going to thaw the earth out? The sun. Let there be light. Is everybody okay? Again. At verse 6, then God said, let there be firmament dividing in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the what? Second day. In other words, everything, he restored so much in the second day. And we are entering a time of restoration. On the second day. Why? We are in the second day right now. This is where everything's beginning to happen. You're going to see many things beginning to happen. And it's going to go on for multiple years. And remember, the third day, it says it will be with the Lord. Hello. Is it possible that we only have what? 7 years left? It's very possible. I hope so. Hallelujah. It's possible. I can't absolute those things. But according to God's time sequence and cycles of things and seasons, and he said he made the heavens and the stars so why we would know seasons and days and years. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The stars began to penetrate through the firmament, dividing, causing waters to divide, and then the land to appear. And the second day, as history repeats itself, we're in a time of restoration, rebuilding, and renewing all things in the earth and the world. Even in a world system that's been run by Babylon. It's going to come down and be dismantled. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent, therefore be converted. In other words, turn. Get back in position. That your sins may be blotted out. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of what? Restoration. We're in that time of restoration right now. It's going to go on for the next 7 years. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Again, we are on the second day promises. The third day is removal of the church. The next feast is the Feast of Trumpet, which is the removal of the church to be fulfilled. All of these things are, it's not coincidence. Hello? It's not coincidence people are hearing this tonight. Wherever you are. Refreshing in times of restoration in the second day. You got to fight, not flight. Amen? This is a time to fight, not flight. 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, and the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jezebite. And he began to build on the second day of the month, in the fourth year of his reign. He began to build what? On the second day. On the third day, we will be with the Lord. So that's 3,000 years. Amen? But from A.D. 30 to 1,030, it's 1,000 years. 2,000 years will be from 130 to 230. Amen? Then we have another millennium of 1,000-year reign where Jesus comes, reigns on the earth, and you and I will have glorified bodies. We will not be the same. Hallelujah. We'll change in a twinkling of an eye. You can eat whatever you want. It can't bother you. You can scuba dive with no gear. You can play tennis on both sides. Hallelujah. You can travel with no gas. In fact, you don't even have to have a vehicle. Woohoo! But you got to have a glorified body, because where we're living is in the true Jerusalem. That's in heaven. We have to come back and forth, because we'll be assisting the reigning to all the humanites. But we won't be human. We're not human now. We're just carrying a human body. We're eternal. But that's going to all change shortly. Woohoo! And those who ain't right with God, they're going to still go, oh man, I'm fleshed. And we who are right with God are going to, yes, glory. We're going to watch each other change on the way up. Man, I know you. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, please. Now the Spirit expressly says, hello. If the Spirit expressly says, he's like, yo, wake up. Get it right. Don't miss this. That in the latter days, some will depart from the faith. In other words, they'll get disconnected or have never been connected. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. Well, what do these deceiving spirits do? They speak to you. They cause you to agree with them so they can access you. And doctrines of demons. Well, doctrines of demons doesn't mean they're going to send you a book and you're going to read it. Hello? They're going to give you a doctrine in your corrupt mind. The carnal mind. Not the pure mind. Paul said, look, I've come to try and what? Stir up your what? Pure mind. It's our responsibility to keep it stirred up. Reconnected, refreshed, renewed, and constantly remove the other corrupt thoughts. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Hallelujah. Many will depart from the faith because they're generic. They're not genuine. Amen. They're not followers. Deceiving spirits will mess with their minds. They have words of lies, rejecting the will of God, and full of pride. They are cursed, unable to stand against the forces of evil. They are weak and cowards in the eyes of God, and untrustworthy. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust, you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures or desires. Adulterers and adulteresses, Do you not know that friendship with the world is hatred with God, or enmity with God? Anybody want to be a friend of the world? You have to be an idiot. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Is that person blessed or cursed? Cursed. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace? That's God's plan. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? Proud. Stay away. But he gives grace, which is God's plan of escape, to the what? Humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Can you submit to God without, can you resist the devil without submitting to God? No, it's impossible. You will lose every time. He'll overtake your thoughts. You'll think it's you because you got no discernment between. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord that he may lift you up. It takes a humble experience. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we'll know them by their desires or by their choices or by their fruits. Same thing. God resists the proud but releases his promises and will to the submissive. Amen. James chapter 1. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you go into various trials. Hallelujah. See, if you really know the challenges, if you really know the Lord, you know that he's going to make a way of escape. He's the author and developer of our faith. You know that everything's going to work to the good, no matter what you're going through. Why? Because you're living from the future to the present on his promises. Count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, your connection with him, produces patience, which is endurance. Are you able to endure? But let patience have its perfect work, not anxiousness. Patience is endurance. Amen? It's waiting. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So an individual that's not patient nor can endure is always in lack. We call it always a poor man's purse. Oh, they got talents, they got abilities and all this stuff, but they can't hold on to money. Because the devil's got access to steal all the time. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Wow. You are anxious and not patient. You can't wait on God. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, endure, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Oh, glory. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you become condemned. Behold, the judges at A judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. In other words, don't make a promise you can't keep. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into the judgment of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not what? Love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So if you're doing the will of God, can you abide forever? Yes, but what if you're not doing the will of God? You're not going to abide forever. Little children, as the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifested, that none of them were of us. Why are they running? Because the presence of God is exposing their demons, and those demons do not like light. That's happening all over the world. They don't like light. So these individuals just take their demons to another place. You can't outrun your demons. You must get them cast out. He says, verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? So if you don't follow Jesus, are you denying him? Yeah. He is Antichrist. In other words, there's the Antichrist spirit that's still hindering or living in an individual who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Listen, you are being taught by the anointing of Christ, not by a man. Amen? See, the world, the secular programs and all the other stuff teach doctrines of men. Oh, which is the same as doctrines of demons. But the Spirit of God teaches through the anointing of God, through his servants. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him as is coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And everyone who does not practice righteousness is not born of him. We have to be so careful, especially about compromising. Do you ever regret a decision you made? Don't raise your hands. Everybody in here has done it. Amen. Heck, we can lift our hands and feet, right? But as you begin to walk in the Spirit of God, he leads you to all truth. So you don't make a choice and a decision without confirmation. Everything must be confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything must be confirmed in everything that we do. You know, like a husband and wife, they talk to one another before they buy a house. Hello? Before they buy a car, they agree on it. Amen? It's the same thing. Lord, do you agree on this decision or choice? People don't come to counsel because they know it's not gonna agree with them. Listen, demons are stupid, but the people that follow them are just as stupid. Hello? And that puts individuals in a stupid condition because they're blinded and deaf. They can't receive the things of the Spirit because the carnal mind doesn't get it or interpret it. So we're going to see many, I'm sharing this with you, you're going to see many people that used to walk in the Spirit become carnal. They're not maintaining their routine. They're not staying connected to the presence of God. They're living a self-fulfilled life. They're living out of the emotions, the soul, and the flesh, and not out of the Spirit. They're living out of their thoughts. They're allowing everything to dictate choices except for the Spirit of God. That's why we're having so much stuff going on right now in the world. God is shaking the world so people can see. Only those, he's like, man, only those who are not shaken are going to stand. And I'm going to close at Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. That's going to be an amazing event, isn't it? Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. Ouch. We certainly don't want to miss the second day promises and outpouring. Amen. Stand fast. Be a fighter, not a flighter. You're going to be challenged. And in even as God is allowing challenges to grow us and mature us and see if we're genuine, the enemy's going to attack. But he doesn't come up and he doesn't warn you, hi, tomorrow I'm going to attack you about 3 o'clock. So be ready. No, he doesn't work that way. He attacks you all day long. Remember, he's a pusher. He pursues until you give in. And when you give in, you get out. You get out of position. Then you have to run the course. Amen. Make those stupid choices all over again. Go through the bushes and thorn bushes. Be dragged along, you know. Go through the pains and up and downs and all the other stuff all over again. Listen, nobody escapes. Nobody. But what a time to be alive and watch the things of God in a mighty way. Listen, we get a front row seat to watch what God is about to do. Why? Because we're awake to it. There are many who are asleep. We're going to miss it. It's going to go right by them. And we're going to catch it. And we're going to prosper, multiply, and become fruitful. And the world will see. This is our time. This is our day. And it's his glory. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal your word tonight with the anointing of Christ. And bring counsel, correction, direction, conviction, healing, and freedom to your people. Preparing us for what's getting ready to come in Jesus' name. And to him be the glory. Amen.